ho, ho, ho. Happy holidays to you and yours. And welcome back to Coffee with Yvonne, a show for creatives and entrepreneurs. It is, at the time of recording, 9:09 a.m. on Christmas morning. And I'm going to be real with y'all. I almost didn't make it getting this episode out because the amount of sleep I need is real. I had a busy weekend. I went out on Friday night to a paint night in D.C. It was like a Basquiat themed Basquiat. These braces. And then on Saturday, I took my niece and little cousin out for a day of fun that turned into a sleepover. You know, we did s'mores, went to Lip Lab in D.C., which was so much fun. And then Sunday fun day, went out for a Christmas party at night that was a game night with one of my coworkers who had become one of my great friends and his wife at their house. So I got home kind of late. And the podcast almost didn't make it. I'm not going to lie to y'all, but that is not why we're here. I hope you're watching multiple versions of your favorite holiday movies on Lifetime and maybe sneak in a little Elf in Home Alone. But on today's show, I am excited to chat with you about The Power of Makeup Part 2, Beauty at Any Age. And I have one of the people who gave me one of my first shots in the industry, Miss Leanne Farbs, who is joining me for coffee today to chat about that topic. And all in all, you guys, we have to talk about beauty at any age, because when you reach like ages like 30 plus, I'm in my mid to late 30s, you start to see skincare shift for you in terms of what your needs are. So Leanne and I will dive more into that topic and also how health is tied into your beauty routine, which I think is a great conversation. But before we get into that, we have to do our What's the Brew? Holla yas edition. I might have to coin that phrase. I like that. So grab your coffee and let's chat. Okay, first up, let's see what we got. Oh, I like this one. Okay. Reported by Afrotech, Black Paper Party snags a $250K investment on Shark Tank. I saw this episode. Okay. On Friday, December 8th, which was early in the month, Black Party Paper founders Madea Willis, CEO, Ja'Aaron J. Merchant, Chief Product Designer, and Jasmine Hudson, Chief Merchandising Officer, pitched their company on Shark Tank. As Afrotech previously told you, their company was founded in 2020 in Philly and offers inclusive products for Black families, including gift wraps and gift bags. The brand is shelved at 6,000 stores and can be found at major retailers like Walmart, Target, Macy's, Dollar General, CVS, and Family Dollar. The founders with the money will further their business, and the opportunity to pitch on Shark Tank will provide a gateway to fulfill their goals of scaling the e-commerce, investing in new inventory, and expanding their team. They did manage to snag a deal, which I did see that, with Ms. Barbara Cochran. She is a female entrepreneur. She started out originally in real estate, but on Shark Tank has really diversified her portfolio. And what I love about this Black Paper Party, people don't think when it comes to the holiday season that representation matters in that area as well. But as someone who, when I grew up in the 90s, I'm a late 80s baby, 90s raised, I used to always have questions for my mom when we went to go visit Santa, because I would sometimes ask why Santa doesn't look like us. And it kind of made you feel like, you know, can Santa be Black? Is it possible in this imaginary character that we believe brings gifts down the chimney or through your apartment door, in my case, that he can look like us? And when I was, I would say around 7 or 8, we went to PG Plaza Mall and they had a Black Santa. And I was just so elated with this character who gave me that feel of jolly and magic that is associated with the Christmas season. So I know for kids who are Black or children of color, Feeling like you're seen, even in the space of the holidays, is important. Even now, when I go Christmas shopping, I always try to look for, you know, the Black Nutcracker, Black Santa. And now we have Black Paper Party, who is bringing the joy to holiday season to make it more diverse and inclusive of everyone. So I love that. I cannot wait to see what they do. And I know y'all gonna buy up all the products before I have a chance to get there, because you do it every single year. In our next story, so she is one of my favorites in the fashion game. I've been following her work for forever. June Ambrose on leaving Puma and how sports change fashion. Business of Fashion first reported this story. June has been Puma's creative director for women's basketball, is set to leave the brand on the end of her contract at the end of this year, 2023. The celebrity stylist and costume designer, she has decided to move on from the brand to pursue various personal projects in the coming year. She has held her role since the beginning of the pandemic, 2020, after she was introduced to then chief executive Bjorn Gulden by her longtime friend and client Hove, Jay-Z. In her tenure, she has significantly scaled Puma's women's basketball assortment and design collections that infuse elements of performance sportswear with fashion-forward designs and her signature vibrant colors. Elements she has been known for through her work as a costume designer for the likes of Alicia Keys, Jay-Z, and Misdemeanor Elliott. But early in her career, Ambrose did work at Puma's rival Adidas, where she served as creative director of the German's brand collaboration with Elliott. There's a quote on here too. Let me find it. Okay. June says, I was able to visually disrupt what the genre of music looked like, and I saw a white space to do the same thing in the world of sport. I set out to create something at the time that was new and fresh, product that was both performance and lifestyle at the same time. I adore June Ambrose. And I know in fashion, especially now, the influencer space is very popular. You know, influencers have become the new stylists. But if you look at the receipts be receding. And June Ambrose, if you're unfamiliar, she is Misdemeanor Elliott or Missy Elliott when she did Super Duper Fly. If you remember that video with the trash bag, Missy Elliott and June Ambrose collaborated on that look. And June was the reason why that trash bag look became so iconic. And by her being a stylist, especially a Black stylist, there's not a lot of Black stylists who have gone to the elevation that June has gone to. I'm always inspired by her work ethic, her vision to create and still show up as her authentic self. She's also a wife and a mother, and she brings her daughter in to her journey. Her daughter, who's now, I think, 20, 21, and goes to an HBCU here in the DMV area. June has always been, at the core, a Black woman and always about her culture. So to see her at Puma, to be honest, I never wore Puma before. I went out and bought two pairs because June was on that project. And I just love being able to support another Black woman in the creative space who has managed to create another breakthrough in that glass ceiling that allows for someone else behind her to see that there are no limits. We may have headaches ourselves trying to break through that glass, but we want to make it as effortless for you as possible because you deserve to be there. And that is what June does with her work every single day. I cannot wait to see what she does next. I'm going to buy it anyway because it's June. But we'll see what she has cooking up her sleeve in 2024. As I mentioned on this episode, I have Leanne Farbs. There were, you know, a couple tears. I did Viola Davis cry on this episode, but I kept it together as best as I can. But I hope you enjoy this lovely conversation with one of the best people I know in the industry and who I am forever grateful to, Miss Leanne Farbs. Honestly, Leanne, I can't even remember how we met. How did we meet? Do you remember?
I do remember. I remember that I was looking for writers and content creators. And I remember that you emailed me and you were like, I'm really interested, da 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 da. And so I said, let's meet in Pentagon City. And we met at Harry's Bar.
We did.
We met at Harry's Bar, which is no longer there, by the way.
No, it's like some kind of fusion restaurant,
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I haven't been to Pentagon City in a million years, but we met there. We sat at a little table that was sort of facing the escalators, and you proceeded to like tell me everything about me. And I was like, how do you know that? How do you know that? You're like, I did my research. I know that you did it, da, 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 and I know that you blah, 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 blah. And I know that you started out, and I know you did an eyeshadow with MAC, and you just like ran it down. And I was like, who is this girl? Who is she?
And I was like very young.
Didn't know whether to be scared or flattered. I was like, what?
Well, I mean, like, Leanne, when you sent the inquiry out, I think it was through Cap Fab. I think it was through them. And I looked you up. I said, oh, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. 23 at the time, Leanne.
You was a baby.
I was a baby. I was still fresh-ish out of college, just looking for an opportunity to like work in,
You were professional.
marketing.
You showed up. You looked fantastic. You were just like, hi. And you're like, I'm a hugger. I'm a hugger.
Funny thing is, Leanne, I came straight from work. So I came from Bloomingdale, still in my, I think I was wearing all black.
Yes, you
And
had on your bloomies. What is that called? B
Bloomies,
style.
B style,
You had
my
on your
B style.
B-style uniform.
And I came there because I was like so nervous. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna meet Leanne Favre, XYZ. I've seen her work. I just want an opportunity. And I was saying all the prayers on the train there to meet you. And less than 2 days, I think, later, you said, when can you start? I said, now.
You said right now.
Yes, right now. And you had me, we've done New York together. So
We've been to New York several times.
several times.
You're writing blog articles
Actually,
for me.
Leanne, I need to give you your flowers. You were the first person to trust me to do content on video. Because remember, I interviewed the founder of Butter London. I had no questions
Oh
prepared.
yeah. Well, look, you know what I was figuring? I had all these interviews stacked. I'm like, I can't be in 17 places at once. So, like, it's just gonna be what it's gonna be. So I'm like, I gotta give people a shot. If it was fucked up, then it was fucked up.
And the funny thing is, like Chris, oh, we love Chris. Chris,
I just talked to him a
you
couple of
did. How's Chris
weeks ago.
doing?
He's doing good. He works for L'Oreal now. All my little babies have flown the coop. He works for L'Oreal. Like he did an internship. He was one of those things. You remember that episode of Friends where like Chandler was the intern, but he was older than everybody?
Yes, my mom
Okay,
watches
so
Friends. Yes.
that was Chris. He was an intern at L'Oreal. He was older than everybody with a little bald head. He was older than everybody, successfully completed the internship program, moved to New York, did the thing, and now he's got a job.
I love that. I love that. And Chris was always like so insightful about the industry. And him and I, like when we went to that interview during, I think it was the winter shows for New York Fashion Week. And I was like, Chris, they want us to do the interview, but I have no questions prepared. He's like, you got this, you could do it. And I was like, okay. And the camera was on, and something just turned on in my head. And it just came so naturally. And I'm standing there like, who is this person and where does she come from?
It was definitely a wild ride. That the 2010s for blogging. I swear to God, I tell people this all the time. Like people are just like, "Oh, you must have made a whole lot of money blogging." I'm like, "No." You know what I mean? It's like
Yeah.
they do now. They do now because people realize the value. But if I learned anything from that time in my life, it was that I severely undervalued my brand. Severely. Like when people didn't blink when I asked them for 5,000, I should have been asking for 10. You know what I mean? Especially for cocktails and couture, for the sponsorships. You know, I severely undervalued. I could have been making money. But I was too scared that they were gonna say no.
But at the same time, Leanne, you're one of the OGs that we still respect to this day. And I credit my career for being springboarded because of what you did for me. I would not be in this position that I'm in right now without your influence. I say it all the time. I'm like, Leanne Farbs to this day saw a hungry 24-year-old girl, like, who just wanted an opportunity for someone to believe in her. Like, I had prayed so hard, and I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry.
I know, but don't cry, don't. Fan, fan,
Ooh,
fan.
I'm fanning, I'm fanning. I prayed so hard for someone to see me, and you saw me.
Oh, honey. I love you.
And I just, I'm so grateful for you
Oh.
because you saw me and you saw how much I wanted it and how much I just wanted someone to see my value and what I could bring to the table. So, without me crying too much, I'm going to conduct this interview.
Yeah, let's get started. Let's get
Yeah,
started.
let's get started because I
Breathe,
will. Yeah,
Musa,
I will be a flood of tears if I really think about it and how I was like ready just to like give up and go into another field because it just was not happening for me. 3 years fresh out of college, like, and you came along like an unanswered, an answered prayer, and I just was so inspired by you that I wanted to be the best I could be in what I do every day. So thank you so much for
I love
everything.
you. You're welcome. It's my it has been my honor and my pleasure.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna get it together
Get it together. Pull it back.
because
Pull
we
it
have to
back.
do this interview. Because I could talk to Leanne for forever, you guys. And as you've heard in that very long intro, I have
Emotional.
one of my favorite people in this industry on my podcast today. And Leanne Farbs, as I mentioned, gave me one my very first opportunity in marketing. When I was like 23 years old. Oh my God. And now I'm 36, so you do the math. So but when I was like 23 years old,
You're 36?
I'm 36. Leanne, I was a baby when you met me.
I know you were.
I
I don't think
was
it just doesn't seem like it's been that long, and I don't need like I. It's just
a baby baby. 'Cause
time.
I remember
Time
you getting nice
marathon. Time
hair.
waits
Like, oh
for
my
no.
gosh, she's so fresh.
Yeah, time waits for no one. Like
It
it's just
doesn't.
so weird. I don't even think about that. I didn't really realize that I was like 20 years older than you.
Well, because when you said to me, I could be your mom, I was like, no, you can't. So I'm going to read her bio and give her her flowers. And then today we're going to have a really great discussion about the beauty industry and how we can do a better job of recognizing women who are, over that threshold of, 40, 50 plus, and how we can still keep it snatched and together. Even as we glow and grow. Yes, Leanne, we're pulling the skin back just a little bit today. Okay. Bio. Clear for my Oprah voice. Leanne Farbs is a founder and CEO of Digital Girl Media, a staple within the New York media and PR scene. She is sought after digital consultant and has worked with some of the most influential names over the past 7 years within the beauty and lifestyle industries. Her award-winning blog, The Makeup Girl, has been featured in the pages of Lucky, InStyle, and Ebony magazines and on Glamour.com. She is an on-air beauty expert that currently serves as a brand ambassador for Avon, Inc., Rock Skincare, and Aveeno. She has also consulted with major companies like Unilever and their Suave, Dove, and Pond's brands, several Procter & Gamble beauty brands, Johnson & Johnson, one of my favorites, Estée Lauder, MAC Cosmetics. She is also the founder of the highly successful online editor event Cocktails and Couture. A sought-after speaker, Leanne can be found providing industry forecasts and other insightful information at many high-profile blogging meetups and conferences nationwide. Even though Leanne has achieved much success, to her, the most memorable achievement is a collaboration with MAC Cosmetics on the capsule collection called Bloggers Obsessions that went on sale in North America. Her shade, Hocus Pocus, an ode to the ever-popular smoky eye, debuted on June 21st of 2011 and sold out within a week. And with that being said, welcome to Coffee with Divine Leanne. Hi, boss lady.
Hi, babe. So that bio is really old, you know, because I don't do any of that anymore. But
You haven't received.
It was really cool to hear that. You know what I mean? I haven't really sort of visited that section of my life in a while.
You have the receipts, Leanne, so I don't care how old it is, you did it. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Thank you so much for coming on my platform today. I have such great respect for you, as I said in my intro. And again, I'm looking forward to having just an honest conversation about the beauty industry, especially now that I have entered my mid to late 30s. I start looking at beauty a little differently than I did when I was in my 20s. So as we noted, I worked for you over 10 years ago when I was first starting out in marketing as your social media person, helping with content and beauty reviews. For those who are unaware, what made you interested in the beauty industry?
Wow. So I've always been a beauty junkie. Both my grandmothers and my mom. I was doing like skincare routines at a very early age, like 8 years old. I was like with my Noxzema, you know, like or St. Ives scrub, which we don't do those anymore. But it started out very early for me. I was always interested in that. I was always looking at magazines. My grandmother, who was like my boyfriend calls her hot pants because she, every time she's wearing like an outfit, it just looks like, you know, like one of those like 70s polyester outfits.
Okay.
She was single. Like I never knew her as married. She divorced my grandfather when my mom was like seven. So I always knew her as single lady. So she subscribed to Cosmo magazine. She had satin sheets. She had beads going into her room. Like she was that grandma. Okay. So she also had like this Queen Helene mint julep mask that she would do all the time because she had oily skin. She had a Moondrops, which you don't really realize what that is, but that was a Revlon. That was a Revlon brand back in the day called Moondrops. And it was a mask that came in a gigantic jar and you screwed on the lid and there was a paintbrush in it. And you would paint this like sticky mask on and you would leave it on and then peel it off. Always doing like the masks and the baths and the bath oils and the this. So as I grew up, I was very interested in art and fashion. My mom was an art teacher and I gravitated towards like all I wanted to do was to go to New York City. So I didn't apply to any other colleges. I applied to Parsons School of Design for their marketing and merchandising program, which was a new program in 1985. I applied for it. My parents were mad at me that I didn't apply to any other colleges. I applied, I sent my portfolio, and I got in. I'm like, guess what? Peace, I'm going to New York. So I went to New York and I studied under some of the best people. I studied under like one of my, like my writing teacher was like a New York Times writer. And she like taught this course like in her spare time. Like I studied color theory, I studied merchandising, I studied economics, all kinds of stuff. And I went into the retail industry. I figured that would be like my easiest thing to do. And it kind of just evolved from there. But like I was always on the side working at some store in the makeup department. So my first makeup job was at Bonwit Teller on 57th Street. I worked at Bonwit Teller at the prescriptives counter.
So near Bloomingdale's? Near the flagship Bloomingdale's?
So no, it was on 57th and 5th.
Oh, okay.
So like Bonwit Teller is not there anymore. So it was across the street from Bergdorf Goodman.
Got it. Okay.
So it was Caterpillar from Bergdorf Goodman. So I worked at Bonwit Teller at the prescriptives counter. And then after I left that counter, I got a job at Barney's New York, managing the Clarins counter at Barney's New York on 17th Street. So I always worked, and then eventually I ended up being a custom blender for prescriptive. So I've always worked in the beauty industry on the retail side, always. Like this is probably the first time in my life where I have not done that. Like I had to escape I always say I've escaped the clutches of retail management because retail management, especially these days, is hard.
It's draining.
But I have always worked for a brand in a store. I've worked for Nordstrom. I've worked for Bloomingdale's. I've worked for Lancome. I've worked for Estee Lauder companies. Like I've always had a retail job. So I understand consumer, the consumer connection. I understand the artistic connection. So that's always just been my thing. So that's how I got into it. Now, as far as the blog goes, I didn't know what a blog was until I started, I started reading, doing a lot of online, surfing and research and whatever. And the first blog that I was ever, well, there's two. And well, neither one of them are around anymore. But Kristen from Beauty, what was the name of her blog? Oh my gosh, I can't think of it. Her and then Tia Williams, Shake Your Beauty. Oh my God. Tia, when I saw her writing, because she would write a story.
Wait, Tia Williams, didn't she just write a, the same Tia Williams who wrote a book? The same Tia Williams who just had that movie on Netflix? The Perfect Fine Tia Williams?
Yes.
I remember you gave me her book some years ago when we were at an event, and you said, you should read this. She's going to be something.
Yes. Tia had a blog called Shake Your Beauty. Her blog was like a breath of fresh air, because she would always tell some cockamamie story. And then at the end, it would be the review of the product. It would be some strange story about her, running around Manhattan and her shoe breaking, and you know what I mean? Like she wrote it like how she writes her books, like a rom-com. Oh my God, I broke my shoe in the middle of Manhattan, but thank God I had this Band-Aid, da da da. Like she would just be like, I was like, what? How is that even?
So she wrote it almost it was an editorial.
Yes, 100%. So I was inspired by that. And then I saw that she was part of this thing. I saw all these blogs, Kristen's included. It said Glam Network on the top right-hand corner. And I was like, what is that? So I clicked on it and it went to Glam Network. And I was like, oh, this is it's a network of beauty blogs. And so then I did some research and figured it out and I joined Glam. And so then I didn't know how to make a blog. But I think at first I was on Blogger, and then I moved it to Typepad. And then I figured out how to actually make a WordPress blog, because I wanted it to look more professional. So then I moved it to its own private host. I joined the Glam Network and it just went from there. I just kept leveling up. And because it was just fun. And then I remember I went to my first fashion week. Oh my God. And then Julia from All About the Pretty, who's now a wine journalist. Julia was I remember I'm meeting her. We were talking about some new Mac highlighters or something like that. And I'm like, do you want to come over? And she was like, of course. So I remember she showed up at my house and she was running up like my walkway with a bottle of wine and a Mac bag. She's like, hi. I was like, oh my God, I love her. And so we bonded over stuff like that. I met so many people that are still really good friends to this day. From Tia being one of them, from blogging. It was just so different back then.
And you know what, to your point, Leanne, blogging, because I was a blogger too many moons ago, blogging had more of a community behind it with the content that you were creating. And now it has definitely shifted from blogging online to blogging through social media, your content through these platforms. Now, as you know, in the past few years, everyone has gained interest in skincare, with people like Jackie Aina sharing her multi-step skincare routine. It's very intimidating, by the way. That's a lot of skincare to folks who, but folks who also swear by cocoa butter and Vaseline as their base. So for those who are interested in skincare, what are some of the basics that they should know?
I would say you have to have a good cleansing routine, like always. What I mean, these makeup wipe stands that just like love makeup wipes and whatever. Makeup wipes are okay in a pinch. Like if you ain't got nothing else and you've had too much to drink and you need to just get it off your face, I keep some in the bedside table. Just, But like very rarely do I not wash my face. Very rarely. I always wash my face and I always do a minimum of like three, four steps at least. And as you know, I'm 56, so I'm trying to stay hydrated as possible. Like I don't want my skin to be dry, crusty, any of that. But like I always wash my face. I switch out my cleanser according to the seasons. So like maybe in the winter I'll do something more creamy. And in the summer I'll do something more like gel-like, but I'm always doing a double cleanse. Like I use this Japanese, I think it's Hatalabo. I use a Japanese cleansing oil. I put that on and I get off my like I don't use makeup remover or anything like that anymore. I used to like buy specific products like eye makeup remover and this and that. So now I just use the oil to break down the makeup, wash my face, and then wash my face afterwards with a cleanser. I use a toner, a hyaluronic acid, and a moisturizer. Minimum. That's the minimum thing I do. And I feel like doing those steps will keep your skin hydrated because you always got to put the hyaluronic on damp skin. It will keep your skin hydrated and looking fresh. Like, that's it. Like, one thing people always tell me whenever they see me, they're like, oh my God, your skin looks so great. Well, I'm better.
You invested a lot of time in it. And like for people like me, like when I first started doing skincare, I was 21, 22. Because I started out first with the ones that we all know, you know, we had the over the counter like St. Ives, all those scrubs, X, Y, and Z. I've learned better because you've taught me, but now that I'm in my mid 30s, I've noticed my skin is starting to change. And my routine requires more effort to look refreshed. So, what are some tips you can give for keeping your skin healthy at any age?
Well, like I said, definitely keeping it clean, washing your face. You might want to consider any type of like, well, I won't say any age, any age like after 30, I would consider doing some sort of red light therapy.
Well,
I
what is
have,
that? What
look,
is red light therapy?
not product, but I have this little mask that I got off of Amazon. It's like a little.
So you put over your mask like Jason in the horror movies, and you just
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm gonna get it so I'll show you.
okay. Let me
Hold on.
see it.
It's not charged right now, so it's not.
And what does it do?
Red light therapy helps with inflammation, irritation, anti-aging. So I would consider doing red light therapy in some form, and also retinoids. I use a retinoid like pretty much every night. I have what is the name of this cream? It's so weird because you don't have to spend a lot of money. I got it off of Amazon, and it's called, I love Amazon if you can't tell.
Amazon is that girl. Besides Target, I love
It's
Target.
called
Loyal.
Milky Piggy. This is hilarious. It's $11. It is a retinol elastic cream.
Oh.
So it's a micro retinol. So it's tolerated a little bit better. You know, some people like complain about like I've seen people like show up at one of the many retailers I've worked at. They're like, my skin is so dry. What are you using? They're using retinol day and night, day and night, day and night. I'm like, you can't do that. Like your skin will dry up. Because retinol is great for like, you know, softening lines and wrinkles that can also be extremely drying depending on the type of retinol it is. So this one is more easily tolerated by most people, and it gets the job done. It's $11. So retinol for sure, red light therapy, and then some type of acid. Beautystat. So you take the towelette and you rub it across your face until it feels dry, I'm doing it on my hand because look, it'll take off your hand.
So
you do it until the pad feels dry, and then you throw it away. The pad is biodegradable, but it's a triple acid. Look at that.
Matt is doing his job in real time.
Yes, some sort of peel. So like you don't have to, like I'm saying, you don't have to like go and spend thousands of dollars on facials. And then if you want to do that, great. You know what I mean? Like that's, but like a cost effective way is like definitely investing in some triple acid peel, but you also have to pay attention to the ingredients. I was just telling my nephew this the other day because he was like, oh, I got this mask because I'm having acne breakouts. So I looked at the ingredients in the mask and the first ingredient is glycerin. I'm like, ciao.
Is that bad for those who don't know?
Well, it's not bad, but glycerin is a moisturizer. So if that's the number one ingredient and then the clay is further down on the inky list, where's the detoxification happening? Basically, it's just moisturizing.
Now, another thing that people around my age are having struggles with is like dark circles under the eye, because now we're very into our careers and some days can be very long. And sometimes, you know, that skin doesn't get as refreshed as it used to look like bounce back. So what are like some under eye treatments that you would recommend for those who are in our 30s, early 40s?
I like the Good Molecules eye patches. They're like some little caffeine eye patches. They come in a jar. It's caffeine, hyaluronic, and something else. I forgot. But like I started getting like a lot of dryness underneath my eyes. And so that like so much so that like when I put on concealer, like it looked like cake batter under there. So then I started I left the concealer alone for a while. I'm just gonna look tired because I had to figure out what it was. I invested in these because they have caffeine, so I figured it would help with the dark circles. There's caffeine in them, but they're also moisture. They're little thin little patches. And I started sort of like I would get up in the morning, wash my face, put those on, like go make my coffee or whatever, then come back, take them off after 10 minutes. Then put on some eye cream, and then I would still wait and then put on like makeup concealer, and it made all the difference. I think that the dark circles and all that other stuff was like maybe less than 2 weeks. It was better. And investing in a product that has some caffeine, and the eye patches are great because I think the Good Molecules ones, you can get them at Ulta. I feel like they're $18 or something like that. So they're affordable, but also, you know, effective. Good Molecules in general is affordable and effective. I use their hyaluronic toner. I use their hyaluronic acid. I use their niacinamide toner. Like, and all that stuff is like, I think I spent $100 and I got like the full line of Good Molecules.
Yeah, they sent me a PR box last year with a full line of products. And I have to admit, it works very well. And to your point, it's affordable and they're clean formulas, which is very important. I use their hyaluronic acid. I had their facial wash, I believe.
I use the bar too.
Yeah. The cleansing bar had that. I also had the skincare, like the normal skin cream and their eye cream. It was one of the other products I had too. So it was a nice little suite of products.
Yeah. So investing in something like that, I think anything with caffeine will help with the dark circles because it'll help constrict the blood vessels underneath your eyes, which are causing the dark circles. That and also sleep and water.
Sleep is very important. I'm a big fan of water. Before I go to bed at night, I love my Estee Lauder, the nighttime formulas that they have with the regime, with the serum and stuff. Yes, I love that.
I've been using Advanced Night Repair for 30 years.
I swear by it. People think I'm crazy, but when I put it on at night and I wake up in the morning, my skin feels tight like a newborn baby.
I haven't felt the newborn baby thing, but I know I can still feel it on my skin. Like my skin still feels like not tacky, but like it still feels like moist.
Yes. And I really like applaud learning from you and others about the importance of your nighttime routine and your daytime routine and switching up your skincare products. Now, being honest, Women are trapped in what I like to call a youth vortex, in which we're applauded for how young we look, whereas men are called distinguished as they age. Do you think there is more pressure on women to appear youthful as they get older?
100%. Otherwise, there wouldn't be like a cosmetic, like there wouldn't be an entire industry dedicated to that. So 100%. I feel like it's better now because you see, like, I saw an Hourglass ad the other day that had, what is her name? Julianne Moore in it. And I've seen pictures of her. She don't look like that. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen like unretouched photos in the Hourglass. So I feel like there has to be like some sort of like advertisers have to let go of like, can you just like, women don't care. Can you just like let us see what she looks like? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, people want to be able to see themselves reflected. They want to see representation, you know, just like anything, you know? And they're doing women a disservice by doing so much airbrushing and photoshopping and whatever. It's not as bad as it used to be. I will admit that. It's not as bad as it used to be, but there's an enormous amount of pressure for, like men can have gray hair and wrinkles and look, you know, like, look at the whole, the people are like flipping out over Kevin Costner on Yellowstone.
Yep.
And he looks weathered.
Or what's his name from Grey's Anatomy, Dr. McSteamy, I think that was his name on the show.
Oh, yeah, Patrick
Yeah, he recently came out full gray, wrinkles and everything. Everyone's like, how handsome he looks. Whereas, I can't remember the name of the star, but she came out and, what's her name? Pamela Anderson admitted that she hasn't worn makeup in years.
Oh, she had no makeup on. Her no makeup thing recently.
And people dragged her across the coals over that and said that she needs to put more effort into her appearance. So there's definitely like a difference between how men versus women are treated as they get older. And even myself, like, at times, I get offended. And it's just me being honestly, you know, when someone calls me ma'am, and I'm like, okay.
Oh, I don't get offended by that anymore. I think I used to, but now I don't care.
It's like a sign that you're getting older. It's like, oh my God, do I look like a ma'am? Do I look like this? Like, I mean, you know, and you start to question.
Maybe you might be. I mean, like, the, you know, people said, I met a girl the other day, it was like, yes, ma'am. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So she sees me as her mom. That's fine. You know what I mean? Like there are certain things that I've learned to like let go of. Like, I truly do not give a shit about a lot of stuff that I used to really care about. So, you know, don't worry, you'll get there.
It's a work in progress.
You're almost 40. It's coming.
I know. It's a work in progress. I take my vitamins every day. I'm drinking my water, doing my skincare. So, you know. But getting back to one thing you said that I think is impactful, you mentioned that the advertising industry can do a better job of not having such heavily retouched photos. What are some other recommendations you would have for those who work in fields like mine, like marketing and advertising, even PR? What could they be doing to be more advocates for displaying beauty at any age?
I mean, just by being honest, like, honestly, like, I really feel like there needs to be some type of representation at the top for somebody where they actually care about, you know, telling the truth. Like, yes, you want to sell products, 100%. But I mean, like, it's got to be from a place of like, I want to see clinical results. Like, I want to see, you know, like, don't make it sound like you can skate on water. You know what I mean? But if you can make it better and you're just being honest about it, then I feel like that's a better move than to be like, you know, oh, this product doesn't leave any, you know, like, we have an SPF and it leaves no dark cast or white cast, but then it's a mineral sunscreen, and then people, you know how mineral sunscreens are unforgiving on brown skin. Just be honest. And having more sort of like people of color in leadership positions, like chemists and product development and things like that, where like, you know, especially in areas where you know that the that the information, the technology is lacking. Like, I need some like brown girl chemists. I need some brown boy chemists. I need people to like tell the truth about all kind, you know what I mean? Just tell the truth. But like it, and it always goes back to, for me, representation.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And also in my day-to-day role, I work in chemistry marketing, and as part of my job, helping to advocate for those in those spaces through our marketing messages is very correct. There needs to be more representation for those who are creating the products down to those who are promoting the products and using the products.
100%. Because and let's be clear, the consumers are smarter these days. It's not like it was before. People are doing their research, but there's also a lot of misinformation out there about all kinds of things. Like, it's not just about like politics. Like, there's misinformation in the beauty industry too. There's an app that people were showing me when I was my last position where I was working for BeautyStat. There was a people would show up and they'd be like, "Oh, this is an app and it tells you all the harmful ingredients and your product scored a 3 out of 10 because there's silicone." And I'm like, okay, because you don't know anything about like chemistry, you would understand that dimethicones are necessary for hydration. So that's why there's a dimethicone in the moisturizer. It's a delivery agent. So because you don't know about that, and there's some random app telling you to do whatever, you know, so you know what I mean? So then people go out there and they say that and they repeat it and it just gets picked up and it goes on and on and on like anything else. So I feel like managing the misinformation and managing that is like a full-time job. There should be like a misinformation management department at every cosmetics company.
Now, when it comes to, again, aging, because we're all going through this right now, I know myself included, you know, we have cellulite, stretch marks, titties are dropping at this point, you know, that support bra is becoming more supportive over the years. These are all things that come with age. And I've had friends say to me that they want to be the size they were in their college or their 20s again. Being real, how can women embrace their changing bodies and make peace with who they once were?
That is a tough one for me to answer because I recently lost 96 pounds.
I wasn't going to say nothing, but I noticed that the jawline was coming through. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. I've lost a lot of weight in a year. And the reason why I decided to do that is because I went to the doctor last year and I had high blood pressure. I had high cholesterol. I had like one of my legs started to feel heavy and I went to like a vein clinic and they were like, "Oh, you have to get whatever this surgery was. It was some type of ablation or something to remove, whatever. It was going to cost me a lot of money." And I was like, what have I was like unhappy, not feeling well, not feeling good. And I went to the doctor and they prescribed me a GLP-1 medication. I don't know if you know what that is. But I was prescribed Mounjaro, which is a medication for diabetics. And I took it. And it's like a little pen, a little injector. And in the first month, I think I lost 20 pounds. So it's just been a progress. So, I mean, I feel like everybody should obviously do what's right for them. And it was not my intention to lose 96 pounds. But I am probably the same size now that I was when my child was 5 and he's 27 years old. I was losing weight so quickly, I skipped sizes. So I feel like you have to do what's right for you, but you also have to look at your health and, you know, longevity. Like, I feel like I was really, really focused on the fact that my labs were bad and that I didn't have, you know, like my health was deteriorating and I could not continue, you know, living the way that I had been. I was drinking more. I was eating like not well. So even if I did work out, like whatever, You know what I mean? Like, I think at one time I worked out and lost, I don't know, maybe 30 pounds or something like that, but I was still over 200 pounds and I'm tall, so I just carry it different. But I feel like you have to do what's right for you and just to pay attention to your health and taking care of yourself. And there are many people that I've seen on the same type of medications that I've been taking, like that develop eating disorders around it. So that's not the move. Like I just feel like I feel like you have to be able to embrace your body, your lifestyle, and do what's right for you at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, that was what was right for me.
Now, how important are things like, because we know about the skincare and taking care of yourself that way from the visual perspective, but how about things like vitamins?
Because I used to get Botox fairly regularly, and now that number one, that I've lost weight and I've been paying more attention to like keeping my skin hydrated, I haven't had Botox like in a year, and I used to get it all the time for here. Like I still want to get it for my forehead, but there are things that I've noticed that are just different. Like I do take vitamins regularly. I take what's the name of that? It's called Alive. It's like a food, like it has fruits and vegetables in it as it's like and plant sources. So I take vitamins, I take fish oil. I drink a ton of water. I will say I probably drink 100 ounces of water a day. And I put a hydration multiplier in the water. I use liquid IV. So I feel like it's all connected.
Now, I really understood like taking my vitamins is like part of my beauty routine now. Hair vitamins, I'm taking turmeric.
I'll tell you what, the ones that I get are the Phyto vitamins.
Okay.
Every time, and I haven't been to Paris since 2014, but the last time Julia went, she got me some because they're $60 here for one bottle, but there you can get two bottles for 26 euros.
Now you mentioned Paris because I learned this rule from you too. Can you talk about how in Paris the skincare game, like buying all the things that will cost way more over there, there's a benefit to when you're traveling overseas stocking up?
There is a benefit to it just because the ingredients are different. So like let's say you've got what's a brand that's here, like La Roche-Posay or Vichy, right? Those are sold in Ulta, both those brands. But the ingredients are different in Paris or in France because they don't have those FDA regulations. There are certain ingredients that cannot be included because of strict laws here in the United States. So, and those brands are drugstore brands in Paris. So you can get those brands for like $3, $4, whereas here they'll be like 15, 16, 17, sometimes 20, upward $20, especially for the La Roche-Posay Antelios sunscreen, which is amazing sunscreen, by the way. I think it's SPF 60 or 65. But they don't have the FDA regulations. So anything that is made in France is going to be cheaper in France. Anything that has to be imported to France will be more expensive there. And vice versa. So when I went the first time I went to Paris, I went to there's a pharmacy on the street. There'll be like a little green cross, and there are certain pharmacies that are sort of more coveted than others. There's Pharmacie Manche. There's City Pharma, but the regular ones. Look, I got Latisse when I went over there because I figured out that Latisse was a the eyelash serum to grow your eyelashes. It was made off label for it's a glaucoma eye drop essentially. So it's a glaucoma eye drop, and they noticed that like people, the glaucoma patients, when they put it in their eyes, their eyelashes would grow. So then they rebranded it. It's off label now. So the off label name for it is Lumigon, So I would go into every pharmacy and be like, "Vous avez Lumigol, s'il vous plaît?" And they would be like, "Oh, here you go," because you don't need a prescription. They would just, "Here you go," and I would just buy it, and then I would just take it and just rub it on my eyelashes.
See, when I was over there in 2019, I remember walking by one of the pharmacies and remembering what you told me about the skincare. And I stopped my mom and one of my best friends. I said, "Look, I know we're on our way somewhere, but we have to stop in this pharmacy so I can get skincare." Leanne, I bought an extra suitcase to bring back all the things I bought in Paris. Like I was stocked up hard. For like a year and a half, I had nothing but stuff that I bought from Paris, from like everything. And I can't wait to go back very soon. But for those who like understand that beauty is such an impact now with social media and everything else, if you're first starting out as a beauty influencer, what are some recommendations you have for those who are building their platforms?
I would say learn as much as you can about the platform that you want to build. Like, because at the end of the day, like we've talked about this before, nobody's going to care about it as much as you do. So you always have to make sure that you know how to do what you need to do, and you don't have to rely on somebody else to do it. So make sure that you know your platform, that you know what the limitations are from that platform, that you know like all the ins and outs from the platform. Make sure that you immerse yourself in all things that having to do, I can't stress this enough. You just have to make sure that you know what your end game is, and you know what you want to get out of it. But you always also have to know like what how to make it work. Does that make
It
sense?
does. You have to become a student of what you're doing.
Gotta like you know you gotta come up with your own thing. Like a perfect example is when you mentioned earlier about Jackie Aina. I've known Jackie for a very long time, and her brand has evolved over time, and now her brand is basically like, I don't go I don't what did she say? I don't go out of the country unless or like I don't go out of the country. She has a little tagline now that she uses.
But she's built a brand though in an audience, like authentically through her platform.
She has, and people are like, but she's also been, I think, very, very, very vocal about like, pump your brakes. This is my life. Like, you don't get, people are like, oh, can I see your house? Can I see this? This? She's like, no, you get to see the bedroom. You get to see the kitchen. You get to see the foyer. That's it. You don't get to see where, whatever. She's been very specific about her boundaries, which is also very important. And she always, and also don't be afraid to like she'll tell somebody, no, you know what I mean? And like, especially if people are like, don't be afraid to, that's one thing that I learned, I think, about everything is just like, don't be afraid to like lose your audience. Don't be afraid of any of those things. You have to do what's right for you. And there are enough, I feel like there are enough people watching. So like if you do lose some, okay, bye.
Now, I think that's a lot for those who are so wrapped up in social media now, where they think they have to be giving everything to these platforms every single time they hop on camera. And to your point, boundaries are super important because for those who don't create the boundaries, then they're sometimes creating these posts around, I just want to show up as myself authentically. I've been like pretending to be someone else, X, Y, and Z. So, boundaries, being a student of your work, and engaging authentically with your followers are like your top three recommendations, correct?
Engaging authentically, I think number one. Also, you have to show your personality. You can't be like, it must be like how exhausting. Just think about it. How exhausting must it be for you to pretend to be something that you're not? Like I was talking about this with my boyfriend yesterday. We were talking about Whitney Houston and about how everything that she did was completely manufactured, all of it. And how exhausting must that have been for her to not be herself? No wonder she went off the fucking rails. You know what I'm saying? Like it's exhausting. So you always have to show up as yourself. And if somebody's trying to make you not be yourself, then you need to get rid of that person. You know what I mean? Like whether it's a management person or somebody who's giving you some sort of advice or trying to say that like they can help you like get more followers or elevate your brand or whatever, and they're telling you to be this manufactured something that you're not. No, you have to be yourself, and that has to be enough.
Now, how do you deal with, well, what recommendations would you have for someone who wants to work with different brands? Like, because the beauty space is very competitive. And not everyone has a bajillion followers or is huge on YouTube.
I feel like this would still work. I feel like you could still do this. I would go to, well, first of all, I reviewed everything in my closet first. I reviewed everything that I had, all the beauty products that I used. That's what I wrote about. And then when I decided that I wanted to, you know, branch out, I would go to Sephora. I would try stuff. You know, buy stuff, whatever. And I would come home and I would go on the website and I would look, I would go under PR, I would go on their website. It's all public information. I would go to their PR area and I would just call, I would just like a cold call, like just email them like, hi, my name is Leanne. I write a blog called da 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 da. I reviewed your products here, here, and here, and here are the links. I would really love to work with you, da 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 da. Shot in the dark, you know what I mean? But I feel like it would still work because look, it worked for me. Like I remember I got my first email from Estee Lauder. I was like, and it was for Tom Ford. I was like, oh, and then I got on the Mac PR list. Ugh, forget it. Like I was just like, you know, because once you get on one Estee Lauder list, you'll get on all of them. You know, and, you know, it's not even like, and I was talking the other day because somebody said, you know, you really should probably start blogging. And I'm like, I don't have time. I don't have time because I have a full-time job. But like, I really like feel like, if I could do it again, I think I would probably, you know, give it a swing, you know?
Yeah. And that was going to be my last question for you about you reentering the space of beauty as an influencer, because I feel like your voice is needed. To be honest, Leanne, and it is a space that is missing in the conversation when it comes to skincare, wellness overall, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about it, but like right now, I just don't have the time.
Respect. I respect that. I mean, I'll be waiting with bated breath when you are ready because you have built a following that is still sustainable to this day, and your connections in the industry spread far and wide. And I don't think people understand when you say Leanne Farb's name in certain spaces, it gets the eyebrow raised like, oh, how do you know Leanne? And that's the following question. So I really do think if you had time to do it, you'll be successful. Well, though that is the majority of my questions for you, but I do have a few quick fire questions for you, Leanne, if you have time. Yes. Okay. And you are an OG, so I feel like your catalog spans far and wide. But in your opinion, who is the best rapper or singer of all time?
Well, does it have to be? Can I do two? Can I do singer and rapper?
You can do two.
Okay. So singer, I would definitely say Whitney Houston.
Agree.
Just the voice. Close runner up would be Mariah Carey for the range. Rapper. I would say I'm old school, so I would go with Rakim and maybe Biggie.
Okay.
Well, also maybe Jay-Z, but that's only because I just saw the exhibit in Brooklyn. It was great.
I'm going to see that in a couple weeks. I'm so excited.
Oh my God. You will love it. It was like an art installation, like the outside of the museum is just like, you'll see. It's all of his lyrics are superimposed on the outside of the museum of the library.
Yeah, you know I love stuff like that. I'm a creative. Like I get into stuff that is like immersive.
It was insane. So yeah, that's my vote for singer and rapper.
Okay. Next question. You've won a boatload of money. We don't have to discuss where it came from, but it showed up in your account, right? What is the first thing you would do?
First thing I would do would book a trip.
Okay, where would you go?
I would go. I would go to probably Tahiti. That's a bucket list trip of mine. We go to Tahiti, but I also was watching the other day Stanley Tucci and his little thing when he goes
Yeah,
all
yeah,
over,
yeah,
when he
yeah.
goes all over Italy. So I want to go to Italy super bad right now.
You would love Milan. You really would. I love Paris, but Milan is number two so far on my city list.
Yeah, I've never been to Italy. I've been to London and a couple of places in France, and that's it. So, yeah.
Okay, so you've discovered you have magic powers, like Harry Potter level, Expecto Patronum. What powers do you have?
The power to go wherever I want, like time to like and just be something.
Teleportation.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sabrina, like just snap your fingers, you're there. I respect that. And then finally, boss lady, if you were a coffee, what coffee would you be?
Oh, I would be a brown sugar oat milk latte.
Not
The
the Starbucks menu.
Starbucks. No, actually, I make it myself,
Are you
but like
making
I said,
yourself?
I do.
Can you send me that recipe? I'm trying to cut back on my Starbucks bill because it's kind of bad.
I don't have I will totally send it.
Well, Leanne, thank you so much for joining me for coffee. How can the people find out about you, your work, and your platforms?
Well, I mean, I don't really have anything anymore. I do have an Instagram. I'm on Instagram and TikTok, just my name. And I post there sporadically. Basically all I'm posting these days is like my sneakers and my,
There's nothing wrong with that. Honestly, you could always do a series about matching sneakers with like a makeup palette.
That's a good idea.
Just a
That's
thought.
why they pay you the big bucks.
Well, you helped me get to the big bucks. Thank you so much, boss lady, for your time. I really appreciate you and love you something very deep.
I love you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. What do we think about the episode? Huh? I know. I'm glad this podcast is not filmed on camera because I don't cry pretty. Everybody knows that. But I was just so overcome with emotion because to think about how far I have gone and the reason why I am here today is because of people like Leanne. I am forever grateful. And I know that Yvonne then was just looking for someone to believe in her. And as someone who now uses her platform to give other people a chance, or at least connect them with the right people, it brings emotion to you. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope that you have a lovely holiday season. I'm gonna go and, try to pull myself together because the way it's looking right now, I look rough. I'm still sitting here in my pajamas and my bonnet. Oh, I need to put on moisturizer. Anyway, I will chat with you very soon for our last episode of the year, y'all. We have the group chat part two, 2023 wrap up with two of my content creator boos, Miss Jasmine Smith and Miss Courtney Pope. We're going to talk about all the things in the top stories of 2023. And I will be on hiatus until January 16th after that episode drops on New Year's Eve. It might be New Year's Day. I haven't decided yet. Stay tuned. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Coffee with Yvonne. I really appreciate you listening to me. We are almost at 14,000 downloads. Oh, I'm gonna cry again. Okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. We're almost at 14,000 downloads, and we are, I think, about a quarter through our season. I am so grateful. That is the greatest gift I could ever have, is having this platform and having all of you believe in this little podcast that could. To learn more about me and my business, please go to pinkdollhousemarketing.com, or you can go on Instagram at pinkdollhousemarketing. You can slide into my DMs. That's cool. To visit my personal pages where you can learn a little bit more about my life, not everything, but a little bit, go to pinkdollhousestyle on IG, or you can go on TikTok at pinkycreates. I can't wait to chat with you soon for another episode of Coffee with Yvonne. Okay, bye. Coffee with Yvonne is produced and edited by Yvonne Pearson. Coffee with Yvonne is created by Pink Dollhouse Marketing. You can catch the latest episodes by subscribing to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.